Hey guys, Zach Rapport here with a special treat from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation. Our guy, Justice Mosqueda, had the opportunity to interview Packers legend Donald Driver. A really cool convo, so no preamble with my stupid voice. Let's just get right into the good stuff. Here's Justice Mosqueda's conversation with Donald Driver.
And now we're joined by a very special guest, Donald Driver, Packers Hall of Famer, on behalf of Master Lock. Donald, it looks like you guys are doing stuff, you know, for kids, for families. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing with Master Lock right now?
Yeah, it's been truly amazing. I have partnered with Master Lock to help recognize and reward people that are making a difference in their community. That's just the most amazing part that I love, what Master Lock is really trying to allow the community to understand that we are here to support you in everything you do. And those are those individuals that's the unsung heroes, the teacher that goes the extra mile, the mother and father that provide food for the homeless, the little kid that sees his best friend walking down the street and hurts himself and he steps up to help out, the veteran, the military veteran that wants to mentor to at-risk youth, people that provide, you know, Christmas presents for families in need. Those are the unsung heroes. As celebrities and athletes, we get recognized on a global scale for everything we do. But Master Lock is saying they're a national global company. They're trying to also honor those individuals on a national and global level. And so I'm excited to be a part of it. You know, the sad part about this is that if you see someone that you want to nominate, the deadline is September 1st. So you got to get that person information into the system on masterlock.com so that individual can recognize for what they do. So we are excited about this opportunity. This is just going to be a life-changing experience for that individual.
Well, there you go. Get it in by September. When was that?
September 1st.
September 1st. Donald Driver says, get them in before September 1st. There's going to be, you know, if you're a Packers fan, there's not a stronger call to action than that, right? So there we go. So this summer, Green Bay's had a lot of narratives pop out. It's been a very popular team to talk about this entire summer, almost in the same way that like the NBA news cycle works, right? A lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers, a lot of talk about Jordan Love. As someone who is there for the transition from, you know, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, I was just kind of wondering what your perspective of when Aaron was ready. Like, when did you know? Because we're just coming off family night, right? The first time we've ever seen Jordan Love throw in a Packers uniform in, you know, a broadcast game because we didn't have a preseason. He wasn't active last year. So when did you kind of know, like, what were the hints that Aaron Rodgers was ready to kind of take over?
It was really in his first year. I mean, he came in there and, you know, it was funny because I was just talking to Leroy Butler and we were just talking how he picked the defense apart. And we knew that young man was going to have a bright future. And then the opportunity that he really got was when we played the Dallas Cowboys here in Dallas. And Brett gets injured. And Aaron steps in and goes out there. And he just started throwing the ball all over the place. And we almost won that game. It was almost a comeback. That's when we knew that this guy had a bright future. It was just he had to wait his opportunity. And when the opportunity presented itself, he made the best of it. And so I was excited for him when he got that opportunity because at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter to me who throws the ball. My job is to catch it. So we knew at that point, and I think Jordan Love is going to get the opportunity one day. The question is when. And whenever that opportunity presents itself, Jordan Love got to make the best of it.
You know, this offseason also, you know, Mark Murphy quoted Ted Thompson calling Aaron Rodgers a complicated fella. You know, you just said it doesn't matter who's throwing you the ball. You just want to make sure you're getting the ball. But when you heard that, I'm assuming that you're not hearing this the first time. Now, what were your thoughts on what that even mean? Like, what does it mean that Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella?
I think that's the question for all of us, right? I think we're all trying to figure out what does that mean. I think for anybody like myself, you say complicated. Well, I would want to know what details comes with that complication, right? And so no one knows. I mean, I think that was an inside joke between Ted and Mark. But, you know, the good thing is that, you know, Aaron took it for what it was worth, and let the chips lay where they lay. And not, you know, the good best part about this is that he's back in Green Bay. Everyone's excited. The fans are excited. The organization is excited. And now we just got to go out there and win.
You know, speaking of Master Lock, right? You're here, you know, promoting Master Lock. Should the Packers Master Lock down Davante Adams to a long-term contract? I mean, that's the other, if not for the Aaron Rodgers saga this entire summer, right? Yeah. I mean, Davante Adams' ongoing contract dispute would be one of the biggest stories in the past couple of years in Green Bay.
You know, I think that you're right. I think they should lock him down. I think they should lock him down, let him be there, let him finish career there. But, you know, everyone's going to make – he's going to make the decision what's best for his family. And maybe it is who he plays with and who he plays for is a big draw. You know, for me, I wanted to always wear the green and gold, and that's why I never played for another team. And so he's got to make that decision what's best for him and his family. So I think, you know, we would love to see Davante stay in Green Bay for a long time and finish his career there.
You know, pre-practice right now, because we're in camp, right? You're seeing Mercedes Lewis every day going out there with some young tight end working on something. You know, it's not consistent every day, but he's working on something with his young guys. And, you know, Randall Cobb is back in the building. Randall Cobb's talked about how you helped mentor him, you know, during his professional career. And now Cobb, it looks like, is like mentoring Amari Rodgers, who, you know, his father coached Cobb at the University of Kentucky. What does veteran leadership and mentorship mean once you get to the NFL? And can it create this type of culture where, you know, it goes from one generation to the next, where you can draw a line from Donald Driver now through Amari Rodgers?
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think, you know, when I look back in my career, I think of the guys that stepped in and took me from Robert Brooks to Antonio Freeman, Bill Schrader, Corey Bradford. They all stepped up to the plate and took me with welcome arms, right? And so when that happens, you want the next opportunity to present yourself as well. And the trend just continues to follow. And I think Cobb is going to be able to help Rodgers get where he needs to get, teach him and coach him through it, and, you know, just like his father did with him. And so the trend continues. I think if you never get the big head and feel like you're better than the guy that's in that locker room with you, across that, in the same room with you as well, then, you know, you're going to always be willing to help your teammates grow. You know, I think every time they, you know, we brought in a new receiver, I was always willing to help, regardless of me being a second round draft pick and then being a first rounder. It didn't matter, because I know that I needed help at the receiver group. And so I was willing to coach and teach it as much as possible. And I think that trend continues. And I think that's why Cobb feels that I've always helped him from the day he stepped in the Green Bay.
So you went to an HBCU, Alcorn State. And, you know, in the context of college football, HBCUs have seemingly changed their approach, right? With,
right,
you know, Deion Sanders taking over, you know, most recently Eddie George. Yep. So, like, you know, former NFL players looking to give back to, you know, HBCUs in a coaching capacity. You know, what do you kind of think of that as someone who attended an HBCU? And what do you think the potential is for football at that level?
I think they're going to get coached by some of the best guys and some of the great legends that that have played this game at the higher level. And you know, all those guys that the HBCUs, they're trying to get to the National Football League. The opportunity is there. I mean, there's a proven fact between myself and, you know, Steve McNair, and you think about Walter Payton and Jerry Rice. And so, I mean, the list goes on, and Mel Blount. The list goes on and on of great icons and legends that played at historic black colleges who went on to have great careers in the National Football League. And again, it's just all about opportunities. And I think what Deion and Eddie George is bringing to the table is that they bring in opportunities. They're letting those kids know that there is an opportunity for you to get there, but it's going to take more than just, you know, just who you are, who the coaching staff is. It's going to take a work at it. Because the league is going to continue to doubt that HBCUs don't have the talent. But if you look across the board, the best receiver to ever play the game came from Mississippi Valley. I think the best running back to ever play the game came from, and Walter Payton came from Jackson State. One of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game at a high level, you get two of them, Doug Williams and Steve McNair. And so that list goes on and on of great, you know, great, great players that have came there and had tremendous careers in the National Football League. And I think some of these players is going to now learn that from Deion, as well as Eddie, and say, hey, listen, you know something, you can get there, but once you get there, you got to know the ins and outs to stay.
You know, speaking of your college days, I don't think a lot of people know that you qualified for the Olympic trials as a high jumper, right? So, I mean, we're just coming off of the Olympics. you know, if someone stepped in, you know, maybe there's an injury or something. Someone said, for whatever reason, Donald Driver, we need you to wrap yourself in the flag and go compete for your country right now. What could you do in the high jump?
I really don't know. It's funny because I my son did high jump last year, and I was still jumping over like 6'2", just, you know, doing scissors over 6'2". So I can, the good thing is I can still dunk at 46 years old. I take this, you know, I keep myself in great shape. I take care of my body. And so I don't know, maybe 6'8" at the most. I don't know if I can ever get back to 7'6.5" again.
Still dunking. You NFL players are built different. you guys are not of this earth. One last question, just real quick, because this is almost a personal curiosity thing. Mm-hmm. You know, football is huge in this country. A ton of people watch football. You're very famous for playing football. Another thing you're famous for is Dancing with the Stars, which also has a completely different demographic, but is very large too. You know what I mean? Correct. So when you're stopped on the street, how often do you get, you know, Donald Driver, guy from Dancing with the Stars, versus Donald Driver, former Green Bay Packer?
Probably 75%. And it's crazy. 75% Dance with the Stars, 25% that I played in the National Football League. I think everyone knows that I played, but a lot of people that don't watch the game, we're always wearing a helmet. This, you know, on Dance with the Stars, 33 million people watched that show every single Monday and Tuesday night when I was on. We had the number one rated show that year in season 14. And so we knew that that was Packer Nation. I knew that was Packer Nation across the board watching from all walks of life. But it was amazing just to be able to be a part of that. And now when I go places, people are so excited. Even when I go international, a lot of people just know me from Dance with the Stars. So it gave me a different platform. And I think that's why, and I say this, and I think that's why I've been able to have relationships that I have, just like with Master Lock, to be able to be the face and ambassador for this program that we're doing right now. So I just think it continues to go, not just as a football player, but you build your brand the way you want. And I've always been able to build a personal brand that allows me to be who I am today.
Awesome stuff. Thanks for the time, Donald. Do you want to plug again where people can send their applications to Master Lock?
Yes, please. Anyone that's out there right now that is listening to this message, please recognize an unsung hero that is doing great things in your community. Master Lock and I have came together to make sure that we give that individual the recognition that that individual needs. And so you can go to masterlock.com and nominate that individual, but you have to do it, and it's due by September 1st. So take your time, make it happen, because what we're going to do is we're going to impact someone else, someone's life.
Thanks for the time again, Donald.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Justin.
All right, guys, that was Justice Mosqueda and Donald Driver. For more audio like that and Green Bay Packers news, analysis, opinions, jokes, all that stuff, all season long, subscribe to Acme Packing Company wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, guys. Go Pack, go.